But now joining us, Kevin Woodley, InGoal Magazine and NHL.com. What's up, Kevin?
Not much. Listen, I thought we had a deal. Like, we sneak in, like, episodes of the game show to make me look good after. I don't want to follow Ian McIntyre, the triple threat. That's not fair. I've been told all my life that I've got a face for radio and a voice for print, so I can't be following iMac. Let's make arrangements in the future to change this up.
Well, you got something that iMac and nobody here can touch, and that's flow.
For at least another 30-some-odd hours, Sat. The appointment is booked.
Oh,
and
no.
Listen, the shame of losing to not just Quads, but Wagner and Wyatt in a poll. Like, that's it. The hair had to be cut.
Yeah, it's. I'm not going to lie. It's not great. I don't know who's voting on these polls, but we'll
I think the problem may have been that there isn't a single picture of me with my hair in its current state on the internet before the poll was run. But hey, I digress.
It might have helped you. It might have helped your cause. So Canucks and Oilers season begins tonight. What do you think of this Canucks team this year, Kevin?
I think I got a lot of questions, and I think I'm fascinated to see how they all play out. Like that's exciting, right? Like there's a level of uncertainty, and with it, probably some optimism for fans. At least amongst the forward group, and maybe a little bit of pessimism among, you know, what they have on the back end, some of it having to do with who's not here. But a lot of questions, right? Like, the one thing that has me scratching my head a little bit was, given all we heard last season about the lack of practice time and no preseason playing into the horrendous start and a year that just got worse from there, just how little sort of chemistry and consistency among the lines we saw. Like, you come out of a 7-game preseason and Travis Green is talking about having to find some lines. And again, that's a lot to do with who was not here for the first half and injuries to Besser and obviously the Travis Hamonic situation. But, you know, there's a little bit of, I've seen this before and it didn't start well. So I'm really curious to see if this group can find that chemistry amongst the forward groups, amongst the new pairings. You spend the whole preseason running out OEL and Pullman, and, you know, a couple preseason games later, we're into a completely different top four. So a lot of that talk about the importance of building that chemistry seemed not to matter in the actual preseason, and I'm curious to see, as I'm sure a lot of people are, how much it'll matter at the beginning. Because if they don't get off to a good start, a lot of that pressure starts to mount in a hurry here.
Well, it does. And we've seen how this team hasn't reacted well to getting off to bad starts like last year. So it's going to be important to get off to that good start. But also, what troubled them last year was goaltending, right? It took Holtby a while to figure his game out. Demko took a while to figure it out. And, you know, heading into, say, this matchup, looking at the two goaltenders for the Canucks and looking at the goaltenders for the Edmonton Oilers, how do you kind of see this goalie tandem matchup, not only for the game, but just throughout the season, how they kind of stack up?
Well, I don't want to piss off Ron Deep again, but I'm a little bigger on the Oilers tandem than he is, I know. So,
that's true. Very true.
Listen, you know, and I would also push back a little bit because, you know, like there was a little bit of revisionist history on Demko's start last season, and clearly he was better as the season went on. Mm-hmm. And established, you know, by the end of it, established himself as you know, statistically speaking, a top 3 to 5 goaltender in the NHL. But when I looked at the adjusted numbers early, like, it wasn't like he was sinking them.
Right.
He just wasn't saving him to the degree that Jacob Markstrom had to the year before and to the degree that he did by the end. And so, you know, I guess I'm of two minds on this. One, he's better prepared and better for the role and for needing to save them, and he's showing that he can. And yet it probably is a little concerning if you do end up ultimately leaning on your goaltender as heavily as they have the past two seasons. I would argue that's not necessarily a good thing. But longer track record, more experience in the role, I would expect him, with the caveat that, you know, systems and goaltending tends to start slower than offense and power play. And we saw that last night in the National Hockey League with the first couple of games and, frankly, some horrendous-looking goals. So with that caveat in mind, I would expect him to be better equipped to hit the ground running this year than he was last year.
Kevin, as a goalie, that right side of defense, how much does that worry you?
You can't help but be worried about it a little bit. But again, like I think that defensive play and defensemen sometimes, you know, they it's you don't have to have the best defenseman to have the best defensive play. Like, system and structure and buy-in from all five guys can help you overcome, questions on your defense. Not turning the puck over and creating odd man rushes, time after time after time again, will go a long way towards us not asking questions about, the ability of these defenders to play against top opponents off the rush, to pivot and to not get beat wide, and to all those things that came into play last year. You know, they were set up by mistakes in the offensive end and a lack of back pressure, frankly, throughout the season. Like, it's real easy to talk about defensive gaps and maintaining gap control, a lot harder to do when there's no back pressure from your forwards. So I don't know that they had a forward group that skated very well last year to create that defensive pressure and that back pressure and make it easier on their defensemen. Are they better equipped now? Yes, but ultimately it's going to come down to not just systems and the tweaks that they've made, but execution. And, I don't know that either one was great last year. Well, we know it wasn't great last year. They were the worst defensive team in the NHL based on shot, sort of shot quality and shot the amount they gave up in total. There's concerns about the defensemen and how they're going to fit, especially after we didn't get a chance for them to develop chemistry in the preseason. But I don't think that everything ends because of those questions. Like, it's going to have to be, those questions can be answered not just by the defensemen themselves, but by the execution by all five guys on the ice. And that's a step they need to take this year as a team that goes beyond the six guys playing on the back end.
Kevin Woodley, our guest. So, as the old saying goes, your best penalty killer has to be your goalie. The penalty kill has not looked good in preseason so far for the Canucks. We know they're working out a lot of different bodies with all the absences that they've got. But what makes a penalty kill help a goalie out most?
A degree of predictability and being on the same page. Like, you can't take away everything on a PK.
Yeah.
But the ability to sort of be on the same page of where the focus is and what you are willing to give up and what you're not. I did a Hockey Canada coaches round table this summer, and we had three NHL goalie coaches and an NHL head coach. And the head coach was Andre Tournier, who's now with the Arizona Coyotes. And I kind of wondered about him being there, frankly, on the panel, but he was excellent. And one of the things he talked about was his time with Patrick Waugh as an assistant in Colorado, and how when they went into PK meetings, they didn't change the entire structure of their penalty kill based on which goaltender was in net. But if it was Jean-Sébastien Giguère, whose lateral mobility wasn't his strength, they tried to focus on taking away seam passes. If it was Semyon Varlamov, who was dynamic explosively, but maybe not quite as solid on straight shots as Giguère, they focused on different things. And the point being, you need to be on the same page as your goaltender. Whether you're playing to their strengths or adjusting based on who's in net is one thing, but you all need to be on the same page in terms of what you're leaving, what you're taking away, what they have to worry about as a goaltender, and what you're going to make sure they don't have to worry about as a penalty kill unit, and then sticking with that. Penalty kill is one area where goaltenders can make a huge difference. That's where you can see some of the athleticism, the big moment saves, the dynamic ability to make a game and a momentum changing save. And Thatcher has all that in spades. But if you're continuously giving up grade A++, eventually that starts to come unraveled. And so having some expectation and being able to maintain that as a group in terms of, don't worry, this is a play we're not giving up. We're not giving up this scene. You worry about that one, or you worry about this shot, or we'll let them attack in straight lines, even into close range, but we're not giving up this seam. Having a philosophy around that and then building a trust by executing, so the goalie knows that, like, hey man, you guys said you weren't giving that up. It's gotten through nine times, and on the 10th one, guess what, I'm cheating. Like, those are the types of things that you need to start with and build from as the season goes on.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Kevin, because it all comes down to execution, right? And sometimes even an imperfect game plan, as long as people execute it, is better than a good game plan that people don't execute, right? But when I watch this Canucks power PK, especially during the regular season and also during the preseason, it's pretty passive to what you mentioned. They're trying to give the lanes. So Do you think the way they're PKing is the best way to go about it, or would you prefer to see them be a bit more aggressive with the pressure? Because they're kind of doing the same thing as last year. Like, what do you think is the most optimal way to kill penalties in front of this team, you think?
You know, it's a really good question, Sad. I wish I had a great answer for you, but the truth is, like, given the personnel, like, I need to take a look to see who's even on the PK tonight, right? And that becomes a part of it, because not just do you want to play to your goaltender's strength, but you got to play to the strength of whatever units you're throwing out there. And I think the inability to have consistent units, I think the fact that they don't have Hamonic and they're missing him as part of that PK unit, that they've had to move so many forwards in and out, and that they don't necessarily have their best options in Sutter and Mott available at the start of the season, like, that's led to, you know, a lot of different people, a lot of different personnel, probably led to some failure in execution as everybody gets used to each other and what they're supposed to be doing on that PK through the preseason, and it's led to a lot of goals. And all those things sort of have to stop pretty quickly coming out of the preseason and into the regular season. But to be honest, like, I don't know enough about the strength of who's going to be out there, let alone who is going to be out there, to start picking it apart on an X's and O's basis and saying, you know what, this maybe isn't the best way for this group to go. We've seen some teams have success with a high-pressure PK. You know, do they have the personnel to do that? You know, again, probably depends on who ultimately ends up out there. I'm not sure we have definitive answers on that early in the season. So playing a little more conservatively and not getting in a situation where, you know, you talk about execution. If it's something new concept-wise with new people doing it, over-aggression can leave you more exposed if not executed properly. It's probably easier to execute a simpler, more passive system when you've got so many changing personnel early in the season than it would be to switch everything up and go to something more aggressive, given all the other changes at this point.
You're listening to The People Show. We're joined by Kevin Woodley of In Goal Magazine. And Kevin, yesterday we got to see the Seattle Kraken play, and Philip Grubauer is an interesting goalie. Despite being a Vezina finalist last year, it feels like, you know, some of the hockey world is still not sold on this guy. And does that go back to him playing Colorado behind the best defensive team in hockey? And what's your take on that? Like, is he getting disrespected when people say maybe, you know, he's not that caliber of a goalie? Or was that based on the defense and the team that he was playing behind?
Listen, I think part of last year was based on the structure in front of him. The adjusted numbers had him, you know, again, like, still on the fringes of the top 10, like, which is really good, but not top three Vezina Trophy time. So maybe that comes into play a little bit, Randeep. I think also where some of the disrespect or perceived disrespect comes from is, you know, in crunch time, it just hasn't happened for him, right? Like, you know, even dating back to when Holtby won the Cup in Washington, Grubauer had won that job in the regular season and was kind of taken to task, you know, really by targeting a tendency to drop his glove hand in the first two games that was easily identifiable. But the first two games for the Washington Capitals, they went after it and successfully. And so he was out in two games, Caps win a cup with Braden Holtby. I don't know that because he hasn't had that run, that type of playoff success, even with a good defensive team, I think that's where some of the question marks come. Like, that's kind of, you know, like, that's the next step. You have great regular season success, but if you want in that upper echelon, you have to do it in the playoffs as well. And so, you know, fair or unfair, like, I think he's a really steady, sturdy goaltender, and if they play good defensively start to finish this year, he'll be just fine. I thought last night was a little bit uncharacteristic of him in terms of, and I wonder how much of that was the moment, first game for the franchise, the hype of Vegas, the team that he should actually, you know quite well from the playoffs last year. Just, he was moving too much. He was over aggressive. He was quite literally hopping around in his crease at moments on that one goal where he got caught moving left to right and kind of drifting as the shot went against the grain and beat him back on the glove side. Like, he literally performed a hop step kind of, you know, like a shuffle and a hop to get across on that. And that's, some guys use it, but I wouldn't say that's part of his normal repertoire. And to me, one of many signs for him that, he wasn't settled and he wasn't himself. Sometimes that happens early in a season. I'm not going to judge him based on one game because I don't think that's characteristic of how he would play. The winning goal off the skate, everyone focused on the kick, but, you know, rewind it and take a look at how he played it. Like, it was bad, frankly. Like, he was just needlessly caught out of position and outside of his crease on a play you should just be able to drop a knee and push across to. So he's better than that. He will be better than that behind that team this year. But do I put him in a top, like, would he be atop my Vezina rankings last year or going into this season? Would I place money on it? Yeah, no, probably not. He's a guy who right now lives on that fringe of a top 10 argument, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, it makes it fair to ask about the investment Seattle made long term.
Kevin, we appreciate the time as always. We'll be talking soon. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.